Okay, let's go ahead and open our Bibles up this evening to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. This morning we talked about the gift of life, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about pursuing after what God's best is for you. Title of this evening's message is "What Are You Pursuing?" And in Philippians chapter number 3, Paul talks about what he's pursuing in his life. And people pursue after different things. Some people pursue after a job. Some people pursue after a boyfriend, girlfriend, a mate. Some people pursue after finances. Some people pursue an education or degree. Some people pursue after getting fame. But what is it that you're reaching for tonight? And that's what Paul is speaking about here in Philippians chapter number 3. He begins to tell what his holy ambitions are. Sometimes people have ambitions, and when around the room, people might say different things. What would your ambition for 2021 be? I don't know, some people might be to lose weight. Some people might be to save money. Some people might be to try not to get the virus. What is it that you're pursuing after tonight? And here, Paul, who most of us know and understand, at this point in time, he's writing this from prison. So you say, well, Pastor, you're talking about reaching forth tonight, pursuing tonight. We're kind of limited to what we can do in reaching forth. You know, because of the virus, because of the limitations that there are, how can we really reach forth towards anything? Well, Paul was pretty much limited, wouldn't you think? Sitting in a prison cell, he wasn't able to do very much. But what's he talking about doing? He's saying he's reaching forth. He's pursuing after something. He's looking to attain something. He's looking to get something. And so tonight, let's look at what the Apostle Paul, some people say the great Apostle Paul, and they call him great because of all the things he had the opportunity and privilege of doing. He was blessed to do, serving-wise. You think about it, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned how much of the New Testament? Quite a bit. And he was used to begin how many churches? But he's not saying, look at all the things I did. Instead, he's saying, I still have a long way to go. I have a lot of things I need to achieve and a lot of things I want to spiritually. And the danger of being a part of a church, especially one that's similar to ours, and been here for a number of years, there are people who think that they have apprehended, that they've attained. Attained what? All the spiritual knowledge they could ever receive. They have no interest in growing. They have no interest in learning. They think that they're right where they're supposed to be, and you could take a 2x4 and try to smack them upside the head, and still they'd see like, no, I'm still good. And here, Paul teaches us an important truth. None of us have gotten there yet. We're all learning. We're all growing. And if we feel like we don't need to grow anymore, there's probably a perfect sign that we probably need to be growing even at a greater rate. You think about it. A person that is a Christian should pursue something different than a non-believer. A person's desires and interests, the things they're trying to attain, should not be the same things that the unsaved is trying to attain. So we talked about this morning the gift of life, and we talked about even about the desire that maybe Jeremiah's parents would have had for his son, their son. But instead, God says, look, I knew you before then, before you were ever formed. Before you ever were born, I ordained you and I've called you to be a prophet. And God had a desire, in a sense, a dream for Jeremiah. And what about in our own lives? What is it that we're pursuing? What is it that is that golden ring that we're trying to get? And Paul uses this idea of reaching forth. What is it that we're reaching for in our lives today? And I want to encourage you tonight. Paul shows us an example what a believer should be reaching for. And many times we get lost in the things of this world, and we reach for so many different other things that we forget the most important thing, which is growing in our spiritual life, becoming more like Christ. After conversion, the believer's change is evidence in his pursuits in life. It's one of the birthmarks of a believer is what your greatest desires are in your heart and your life. The believer should have a different goal, different aspirations than the unsaved. How can a person who is lost and headed to a horrible place called hell, that is not spiritually minded at all, cannot understand spiritual things, does not have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them, be pursuing the same things that a believer who knows God has a different purpose for life and has the Holy Spirit of God living inside? How can they be pursuing after the same things? How can the same things mean so much to us? And it's not because the unsaved has gotten some type of spirituality. No, it's the Christians become more carnal and more interested in reaching forth for the wrong things. Let's go ahead and read here. I think you'll understand a little bit as it goes along a little bit better. Philippians chapter number 3. Look what it says in verse number 3. 11. Excuse me. Chapter 3, verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, it's talking about someone who's spiritually minded, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So they're saying in verse number 15, and we're not going to get to verse number 15 probably in the message, that's why I'm taking some time for some commentary on it. Look, if you're a mature Christian believer, you're going to feel the same way as Paul is. I need to keep on growing. I need to keep on growing. Then it says, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, talking to a believer, somebody sitting at the church, if you think any other way, God shall reveal even this unto you. God's going to have to reveal it to you. Sometimes some people are so hard-nosed and so stubborn that no matter what the preacher says, no matter what any individual says, God has to reveal it to them. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you are thinking that, hey, I don't need to grow in my Christian life at all, I don't need to be, I've already apprehended, I've already attained, I'm already Christ-like, there's something wrong. There's something you need to work on. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open up your word, Lord, to be able to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that you help our hearts and our affections, our desires, the things that we pursue after, to be things that are good for us, spiritual things that will strengthen us. Obviously, there are things and goals in life that are not spiritual that we are trying to reach and that try to accomplish. Nothing wrong with living a disciplined life that reaches certain goals. But Lord, help us not to think that we've already achieved everything we can achieve with you. Instead, help us to understand, as the Apostle Paul is teaching this church of Philippi, we can continue to reach forth, we can continue to grow, and that we should be looking for that prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go back to verse number 11 here. It says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, you think about that phrase, the resurrection of the dead. The word resurrection here is not the usual word you use for a bodily resurrection, which means to be resurrected out of something. Specifically, it means Paul wants life in his Christian experience. He doesn't want to be dead in the sense that he's not growing. In principle, this resurrection can represent any type of spiritual growth or spiritual blessing. Paul is not expressing pursuing secular things. He's not talking about pursuing after the things of this world, but instead spiritual things and spiritual blessings, which is a contrast to many people in the world, which is a contrast to many people that are believers. See, Paul never got over his unworthiness to be a child of God. And when he says he wants to attain unto the resurrection of the dead, he's not saying, I'm doubting that God's going to be able to raise me, or I'm doubting the fact that God saved me. Rather, he's demonstrating humility in his desire to live a life that is in such a befitting a child of God. He says, I want to act like I'm saved. I want to be unlike that resurrection of the dead. Paul is seeking to become more like Christ and in his Christian growth, and Christian growth in his walk with the Lord. So look at these things it says in verse number 11. This is his desire. And first thing he says, if by any means. Think about what he's saying here. By any means, it's talking about how he's going to pursue. However, whatever it takes, how much it costs, by any means. You ever want to purchase something? Sometimes people go to an auction and they're there and they're bidding. And some people have in their heart and their mind, I'm going to bid whatever it takes. By any means, I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to get that item. Sometimes people look at that and they desire to maybe to learn how to slam dunk a basketball, which I don't know how many people in the room can do that. Oh. Allison's weight, raising her hand. So we're talking about 10-foot rims. We're not talking about Brother Jones's 8-foot rims, whatever he was talking about. We're talking about, you know, some people desire that, and they go through special training, and they do certain things to help them increase their vertical so that way they're able to dunk a basketball. Some people pursue to learn how to do a language or other things. And sometimes people will say, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to be first. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to get that object or that possession, no matter whatever it takes. And sometimes people will go to great lengths by any means. If by any means, he's saying this, he will sacrifice whatever necessary, do whatever's necessary, go wherever necessary to become more like Christ. Man, I don't know about you, but we're talking about what are we pursuing tonight? And we think about, okay, I'm pursuing a certain object, a certain job, a certain amount of money. I'm pursuing a house. And he says, I'm willing to forsake. I'm willing to save. I'm willing to earn some extra money to be able to get that maybe present that people are talking about today. You know, Christmas time, people love to get presents, and sometimes people go through certain things and they'll sell something, they'll work extra to be able to provide something for somebody they love, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But Paul is saying those things that you pursue so hard after, he says, now do that in your Christian life. Do that in something that really matters and something that really counts. And you see, not only do you see by any means, but look at the passion that's involved here. Because I believe if you're going to pursue after Christ and become more Christ-like, passion is expected. You have to show some passion for things like Paul did. God does not just go out handing out spiritual blessings to just anyone. There must be a great desire. Many times people are not growing in their Christian life, and they're not pursuing because of the fact that they're satisfied and happy. I'm on my way to heaven. I've been going to church for 30 or 40 years. I know hundreds of verses in the Bible. I'm done. I tell you, just because you know verses in the Bible doesn't make you saved. And we need to realize that we make sure that we're blood-bought and that we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if we are a Christian, then our pursuit should be after him. And what Paul is saying, if by any means, no matter what it takes, I'm going to become more like Christ, even if it means I need to read my Bible more, even if it means I'm going to have to sit in a prison cell, as Apostle Paul did, even if it means that I might be starving at some times or shipwrecked or beaten with rods or be bitten by a snake. He says, if by any means my goal is to attain the resurrection of the dead, I want to become more like Christ. Now, when's the last time we looked at our life like that? I mean, when is the last time we ever said, you know, this is my goal, this is my pursuit? Now, we're not talking about Solomon after his 1,000 wives or David after Bathsheba and starting to feel bad and feeling, he's like, you know what, I've messed up, I haven't attained. But he's not talking about Peter after he denied Christ. This is the Apostle Paul that is sitting in a prison cell because of the fact he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is an example for us, an example of believers, and he's saying, hey, I haven't made it yet. I want to become more like him, and no matter what it takes, I'm going to do it. So the first thing I want you to think is the omission and the pursuit. The omission and the pursuit. Look what it says in verse number 12. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So the first thing is, you see the surprise in the omission. Think about what he's saying. Not as though I have already attained. No man was any more successful than the Apostle Paul, and Paul is freely and willingly to admit, I have not been there. I haven't gotten there yet. I need to do more. I need to become more like him. So what does it mean? It means we've got to be humble. We can't be sitting there like the Pharisees, so prideful and so interested in outward things that we miss what's going on the inside. And I hope this is not hard for you. I hope this is an easy one. Yes, I need to be humble. Yes, I need to grow, because you're never going to pursue after something that you don't feel like you need. You're never going to pursue after something, at least with a passion like Paul is talking about, by any means necessary, unless you realize there's a need there. And many people sit in churches today and think they have no need of growth and they have no need of becoming more like him. And because of that, they sit there and they never grow, and God never speaks to their heart, and they never accomplish what God has intended for them to do. Remember, life is a precious gift, and God knows you. He has a destiny for you. He desires something for you. It's something that he has planned out for you. You are saved on your way to heaven. What are you doing with your life? We should be pursuing him, pursuing the one who died for us. He says, not as though I've already attained. Once again, he's saying it's a simple admission. I still have more room to grow. I'm not as good as a Christian as I could be. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe that's what we need to talk about tonight. The humility that's involved is saying at an altar, Lord, I know I need you. I need to grow. I want to be more like you. And with this admission, you know what happens? It protects us from spiritual pride. It helps protect us from complacency. It helps protect us from lethargicness and mediocrity when it comes to our spiritual lives. When we become satisfied with our spiritual growth and our achievement, and we have no intention of improving, no intention of growing closer, no intention of learning more, there's a problem. If the Apostle Paul shows us that he admits, hey, I can do better, I want to do better. Not just do I want to do better, I'm going to pursue after doing better by any means necessary. I don't know about you, but that's a challenge to me, because I want to serve more. I want to achieve what he wants me to do. I don't want to be satisfied with the days of yesteryear. I want to, in the future, do what he's called me to do. Second thing is, not only is it an admission, in the pursuit, there's an aim in the pursuit. You say, okay, Pastor, what's the aim here? Look what it says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend. It says in verse number 11, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I've apprehended of Christ Jesus. It's a selflessness there. He's saying that I'm following after it. Too many saints have become self-centered in their salvation. They see salvation from the standpoint, okay, look what God did for me. Now, the rest of my life, I want to spend asking God to do more things for me. Oh, that's what reality is. American Christianity is today. Yes, God saved me, and that's what they think that all salvation is. It's not. It's recognizing that you're lost and that you're a sinner and that you're in need. And yes, he does save us, but he's God. And because he's God, I need to serve him. I've been apprehended. I've been taking a hold of this. I see what he's done for me. And because of what he's done for me, now I want to serve him. But so often our prayers are so selfish and self-centered. God, let me get my will done up in heaven. God, let me do what I want to do. And that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, that's what I'm willing to do. There's a submission here. He says, look, I follow after this. Paul's aim is to submit himself to God's purpose for his life. He's not desiring to get his stuff done. He's desiring, saying, God, here is my life. Take it and use it. It is a precious gift that you've given me. I'm giving it back to you. Now, Lord, I want to grow. Show me how to grow. Show me how to apprehend. Show me how to attain that resurrection of the dead, that spiritual blessing that's speaking of here. Paul's aim is to submit himself to God's purpose for his life. And most of us aim for God to submit to us. Isn't that how we pray? God, I want you to do this for me. God, I don't care what your will is. This is what I want. But we have it all backwards. It's supposed to be, God, what is it you want me to do? God, so many times we get focused on pursuing something that we will leave God all out, even feign praying, fake praying, so you can justify getting something or doing something, and you miss the purpose of pursuing after God and who God is. Paul is saying here, look, I haven't apprehended. He says, that I may apprehend that for which also I apprehend of Christ Jesus. seeking to fulfill the purpose that God has saved us for. It's not going to lead us to sin. It's not something that is going to say, okay, if I pursue after God, that's going to keep us clean and holy. Seeking what God wants me to be, this is the path to holiness. This is becoming more like him and saying, I have not arrived, I admit that, and here's my goal. I want to become like him. The third thing I want you to think about is the action that's involved. You see the admission, you see the aim, and it's great to have a goal, but if you never do anything about it, you're not going to accomplish your goal. You see the action in the pursuit. Look what he says. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. So you think about the one thing I do. He doesn't say the one of many things I do. And I know that our Christian lives, that we live out in the world, we live secular lives, we have to pay house payments, we have to do other things. But he's saying, compared to everything else, this one thing I do, there is a focus here. There's a priority here. It speaks of one's priority in life. All those other things take a back seat to this one priority, this one thing I do. What's the one thing we do with priority? What is the one thing that occupies our heart, our mind, our time? Some people I see it's a sport. Some people I see it's a mate. Some people I see it's kids. Sometimes I see it as grandkids. Sometimes it's a hobby. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it can be even become a ministry. What is that one thing that you're reaching for and desiring? And Paul is saying here, this one thing I do, the spiritual blessing I have in my life. I remember I helped coach some sports and I played sports. And I remember that's what you try to teach the kids many times. Focus on this. Do this. You know, this is what's supposed to be most important. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's, you know, nothing wrong with sports. It's something you can enjoy. But if it has the wrong spot in your life, get rid of it. Now, that might be hard or tough. I don't care whatever hobby it is. It could be hunting. It could be shopping. I don't know what the hobbies is. That it's this one thing that's got to be most important. And I remember for years, sports was the most important thing. And I was focused on that. I would run miles a day to try to be in shape. But you wouldn't read your Bible. There's a problem with that. And it's the problem that many of us have today. We're not focused in this action. He says, this one thing I do. Now look what he talks about doing. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting is speaking about not looking back in an unproductive way. Obviously, we're going to remember the blessings of God that helps us be grateful. And obviously, we're going to remember the things that we faltered at and that we failed at, because that's going to help us grow. Paul here, if you read verses 1 through 10, it talks about all the reasons why he would have been the best of the best of the Pharisees. And he says, I count that all worthless. I count that but dung, that I may win him, that I may know him. So he's saying here, he's not saying that you had to have amnesia, that you can't remember things, but he's saying, I'm not going to let this slow me down. I'm not going to be unproductive and live back here by saying, oh, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. And I don't have to do anything else. No, he says, I'm forgetting the fact that I'm not letting these things stop me from serving. And I'm not going to let the devil convince me of the sin that I've done before stop me from serving, because there's one thing I need to do by any means necessary. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. And then he talks about looking forward. He says, reaching forth unto those things that are before. So behind is supposed to be replaced with before. Okay, those are the things I did in the past, some good, some bad. I've learned from both. Now I am reaching forth. You know, as you're reaching for something, it's really hard to reach for anything else. Now, I know that you can reach for two kids like this, but if he's talking about reaching for something, it's like a leaning into. It's hard to grab a hold of anything else. And that's what he's saying here. He says, I'm reaching forth for something. He says, I'm doing it with a fervency. He says, I press toward the mark. He's reaching forth unto those things which are before. And so he's saying, okay, this is what I'm reaching for, those things that are ahead of me. And he says, I press to the mark. I'm not just reaching, okay. Sort of like when you tell your child, come here, and you hold out their hand, and they're they just kind of put their hand out there and they want you to come grab their hand. If my child wants me to grab their hand, I'm definitely going to grab their hand, if you know what I'm saying. Hey, if I told you to come here, you need to come here. You know, and so we grab it. He's saying here that he's reaching forth, he is grabbing something. And I want to encourage you tonight, what are we pressing toward? So you get this action here, this thought. He's not just pursuing. He is pursuing it with a passion. He's not letting the things before stop and behind him stop him. And he's reaching forth and he's pressing toward the mark. What is he pressing towards? And he says, the prize of the high calling of God. What is that prize of the high calling of God? It's his will for your life. It's pursuing what God has planned for you and the purpose he has for your life. And he's saying, that's it. That's what God wants me to be. And I'm going to go after it with all my heart until he shows me a different direction or a different way. You say, Pastor, what if you don't know what it is? We know some things according to the basis of the scripture. He wants you to read your Bible. Pursue after it. He wants you to memorize your word of God. He wants you to meditate on the word of God. He wants you to pray. He wants you to be a witness. He wants you to, there is a long list of things. The hard thing isn't figuring out what God wants you to do many years from now. The hard thing is doing what you know you're supposed to do today. It's being faithful. It's not saying, well, what is God going to have me do 10 years from now? If you do what you're supposed to today, he's going to reveal what he wants you to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But you have to pursue the things you know you're supposed to. Instead, people say, because I don't know what he wants me to do, I'm going to go pursue my own interests until he shows me. You're never going to find it. It's never going to become reality to you until you're willing to say, admit, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I want to grow more. I want to do better. I want to learn more. I want to become more like Jesus Christ. And then I take aim. I look at that and say, okay, here's my goal. This is what I'm reaching towards. And then becomes an action. It's not just a pursuit of saying, okay, I need to go ahead and do that. It's sort of like those wonderful New Year's resolutions people have. They make a list of all the things they know that they have wrong and they desire to do it. And many times they never do it. It's because they never pursue after it. There needs to be action here. And that's what he's saying. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God's rewards are going to be eternal. They're going to improve our character. They're going to improve our growth if we will learn to put him first and foremost in our life. Take a mental picture in your heart and mind. How much did you read your Bible last week? Don't call out loud, obviously. Call out loud, then, you know, how many minutes, hours, in a whole week? How much did you pray last week? What is it they were pursuing? Now, I know probably most of you guys aren't TV people, but compared to TV, or maybe Facebook's the answer for you, or Twitter, or compared to those things, oh, we're spending the most time. What is it we're pursuing after? What is my heart desire? So tonight, what are you reaching for? He's saying reaching forth. You say, Pastor, I can't reach forth right now. We're not allowed to go out and do anything. We got to wear a mask and we got to do this. Okay, if you say you can't be a witness or you can't be productive in that area, he's not talking about a certain goal per se. He's talking about himself. Becoming more like Christ. Paul is sitting in a prison cell. Praise the Lord, in that prison cell, and once again, it might not be as obviously as he's writing to the church of Philippi. He's probably in a prison cell in Rome at this moment in time. But from that prison cell, look at the difference God is using to make in his life. He's writing books of the Bible that were inspired by God, that had been preserved in the Word of God. And he made a difference there. Well, can you make a difference in prison? Well, talk to the Philippian jailer. I mean, he made a difference in prison, didn't he? He sure did. He won someone to Christ. Can you imagine those guards that came and sat, and when Paul was handcuffed to them, how they would rotate in and out? Imagine he had an audience with them. He would talk to them, I'm sure. You hear people that were in Caesar's court or, Nero's, and people that were saved, and he made a difference in people's life. He couldn't reach for, physical things, but he could reach for becoming more like Christ. So I think if we would make that our pursuit and that our goal. Now, it's almost Christmas. What if we pursued after God more than anything else between now and Christmas? Pastor, you know how busy I have this, I have this, I have this. I get it. But Paul says, by any means, verse number 11, if by any means I might attain. And if we pursue after him, I think all the other stuff is important. All the other stuff is good. All the other stuff should be put in its proper perspective and place because we're celebrating Christ and his birth anyway. So let's do it with a passion. Let's admit we need God's help. I need to grow. The Apostle Paul is sitting here saying, I haven't apprehended, I haven't attained. I want to become more like Christ. I want the spiritual blessing of growing and becoming more like him. Then let's consider what our aim is. Let's look what that goal is, and let's put things to action. Tonight, maybe we need, I don't know how God spoke in your heart, but there's a couple things to think about. Maybe I need to consider my heart attitude when it comes to growth. Some of us have been saved for a lot of years, and we've gotten to the point where we think, I'm okay. I can be right where I'm at. I don't need to really study the Bible so much. I don't really need to pray. It just sounds hard saying coming out that somebody would actually feel that way. We need to be humble. We do need the Lord. Paul is saying here that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He says, look, that I may know God better. He wasn't going to let anything stop him. Next thing is it more of a just a desire, or is it something that you're pursuing? Give some consideration. What am I spending time here compared one to another? I know what we're all busy. We all have responsibilities, especially ones that have kids. Their lives are very, very busy. But you cannot let that replace the importance of pursuing after God. Let's go ahead and pray.